15-year-old Robert Stevens is the latest dead boy to be matched with a relative. In fact, it was the DNA of a nephew with the same name who helped to positively ID him. The younger Stevens says even in 2013, when he provided the DNA sample, he had no idea he even had such a relative or was even named after him.
I didn't have a clue. I did not have a clue. Literally, when I got here, that's when I found out in 2013, when I saw my name on the board. That's when I found out that that's who I was named after, that day.
And since a recent press conference announcing the latest identification, Steven said he's learning more and more daily.
In the past couple of days, his age, I just was speaking with another relative last night. She mentioned that he was stabbed in an altercation. So I just learned that last night, and Dr. Kimberly mentioned that today. So it's literally hour by hour, day by day, I'm learning more about my uncle and, you know, some history in my family.
Starting in 1936, a 14-year-old Robert Stevens was housed at the Dozier School for breaking and entering. It was supposed to be a 2-year sentence, but school records show he was fatally stabbed just after his 15th birthday. Still, his living nephew says he's grateful that throughout this process, he's now come into contact with family he's never known his whole life.
So it's a great opportunity to be here. And also, I'm just kind of devastated at the same time to find out somewhat of the situations that he'd been through and what happened.
He's referring to how the now-closed Dozier School for Boys, which was open for more than 100 years, is surrounded by allegations of a history of abuse. Stevens remains is one of 51 bodies researchers found buried on the grounds.
I learned that from the outside, when the kids first came in, it looked real nice. Got kids playing basketball, you know, doing different outdoor activities. But once night fell, it was a whole different story. Beatings, starvation, and it was a particular building called the White House, where if you were a problem, they would take you there and beat you severely.
Well, when you have boys that you have to put stitches in them after a beating, or you have to haul them to the hospital in a wheelbarrow because they can't walk, or blood is running down their leg, that's way over what should have happened as far as punishment. That's way over the line.
That's Robert Straley, a member of the so-called White House Boys who say they survived the abuse. Straley says one of the saddest things to him is that there are just some boys who will never be found.
I really believe, and it's just my personal belief, that there are graves that are over there that they'll never find because of the early years. I don't know if they would even bother with a graveyard.
There is a committee looking into where the reburial should take place. The capital city of Tallahassee and even Marianna, where the boys were originally buried, have been suggested, but committee members are still in talks. Straley says at the end of the day, those remains should be laid to rest where many people can pay their respects.
Nobody really wants to see these boys go back into that atrocity-laden ground. That just seems unthinkable. You know, it should be someplace in a park, in a city, in a park, something like that, where people can go and touch and feel and interact with this monument. And of course, boys were from all over Florida, so it's not like it was just kids in that general vicinity.
Lead USF researcher Aaron Kimberly says the reburial plan is coming together and should be ironed out by next year.
So in the coming months, we'll be working to help raise funds to help cover the costs that the families will incur for reburial, including Sam Morgan and Earl Wilson, who were previously identified but have yet to be reburied. And over the next year, we'll work with this work group to draft a reburial and memorial proposal to present to the state next spring.
Kimberly adds, while they may be in the finishing stages of their work, the process is by no means over.
It is our hope that we will continue to make additional identifications. In the past couple of weeks, we've been able to find two additional families to sample, and that search continues.
Ann Stevens has a few words of encouragement for families still looking for answers.
Stay focused, stay in contact, and just stay in faith. And, you know, and if there's any other families out there, please give your DNA. But don't give up. Just stay patient, stay focused, and you'll get it. It'll happen. because it took me 2 years, but we're here now.
Steven says right now his family may be looking into whether to rebury his uncle in his original hometown of Quincy. Meanwhile, Kimberly says a final report is due in January, and the state has also agreed to extend the permit for her and her team's work until January 31st, 2016. For WFSU News, I'm Sasha Cordner.